This morning's reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 16. Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near.' I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin, and woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up into the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me, but he who rejects me rejects him who sent me."
Great, thank you, Dave, for reading to us this morning, and Hilary for those wonderful prayers of intercession. Evan, if we can put the slides on, that would be great, thank you. So I keep repeating myself, very sorry about that, everybody, but you know in the autumn, if you've been a part of the church since then, that we went through a series of talks about together in worship, and then in January and February, about together in community. And over the last couple of weeks, we've begun in this new series, Together in Mission. We had an all-age talk where there were some globes kicked around, and we thought about the way in which God's heart is for all people and what it means to be people that are prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And then last week, Chris Maggs spoke about the King, King Jesus, and his kingdom, and he unpacked what the kingdom means and how it can be expressed. And that was an appropriate time, as it was the coronation weekend. But today I want to talk to you about the 80s. And you may see one or two people there through popular music on the 80s. I don't know whether you are someone who loves the 80s. I won't ask you for those who love the 80s and those who don't. Anyone here born in the 80s? Oh, all of you are that side apart from one. We need to mix this church up with the ages. The 80s was a defining decade in so many ways. I don't know what your favorite decade is or how long you can go back to remember the decades of which you have lived. But the 80s were quite foundational in so many ways. Fashion. Anyone ever have a shell suit? Paul, oh, there's a couple over the back there. Oh, anyone still got their shell suit? Anyone prepared to wear it next week to church? Shell suits or gadgets. Anyone remember Simon? What a weird thing that was. You just had to tap the colors as it went around. And anyone had a Walkman, a Sony Walkman? Yeah, a few of you. What about the first Apple Mac? Brilliant. Something else happened in the 80s. We'll move on from that. But 1989, I was with Barbara and Howard this week, and I think they're here. And they were sharing with me about something that happened in the life of this church in the 80s. And it really caught my imagination. And it was that the church launched out in mission by planting another church, Alton Baptist Church. And Barbara and Howard were sharing with me that they went around the streets of Alton. Get this. Back in the 80s, you could do this. Not sure today. On people's doors. And they opened their doors, and Howard and Barbara said to me that not one person was resistant to what they were just about to say, which was, we're from Shirley Baptist Church, and we are a bit nuts. They didn't say that. Of course they didn't say that. But we're planning to plant a church, and conversations ensued and things happened. And of course, there is a church now established at Alton Baptist Church. 1989. I did double check that with Ian MacDonald because he's a historian. And it was an amazing story to hear about the courage, the commitment, the sense of God's leading the church to do something really quite unique. Well, in this passage, there is both the character of mission and the content of mission. The character of mission. Here, Jesus basically says to 70 or 72 people, scholars have a bit of a debate, and it's quite a boring debate, to be honest, but they have a debate about whether it's 70 or 72. I'm going to land on the side of 70. As Dave read to us, it was 72, and the NIV goes 72, the New International Version. But I'm going to land on the version that Tom Wright says, which is 70, and he's a theologian, some of you know. And he says 70 because it comes out of the potential that Luke is saying that Jesus chooses 70 others as a reference way back to Numbers 11, verse 16 to 25, where Moses needed the help of 70 elders. Do we need 70 elders, deacons in this church? I once was part of a church in America where they had 350 deacons. Bit crazy. But 70 elders to support Moses in his leading of the people of God. And the Spirit of God came not only upon Moses, but upon these 70. So Luke is suggesting that Jesus is referring to that whole period in Numbers 11, where the Spirit came not just on Moses, but 70 others. So the Spirit is coming not just upon Jesus' 12, but upon 70 others. The Spirit is coming. And he says, go two by two, side by side. Today is actually about side by side mission. Barbara and Howard and others who went side by side to the streets of Alton. The other night we had Dwell after our prayer day. And it was an amazing occasion, actually, where we, at the end of the day, the prayer day, had time of worship, and it was very simple. Andrew and Faith led it very simply, but incredibly profound time of meeting with God. And the one word that came out of that occasion, that evening of praise, was, as we were focusing upon another member of staff, was the word alongside. Alongside. I don't know what your favorite TV program has been recently, but mine has been Race Against the World. Race Against Canada. Anyone else seen that? Oh, good. We're having lots of hands up today, aren't we? But Race Against the World. I love it. And if you've not seen it, watch it on iPlayer. It is fantastic. It's about, if you know, two people side by side crossing Canada on a particular budget, a low budget, and they have to try and get from one place to another. It is absolutely fantastic. But Mobeen and Zainab are a couple, the younger couple, in their 30s, and their way, their outlook, their strategy of travel, of journeying was brilliant because they wanted to really get into Canadian culture. But what was just as profound was that they said how they worked together side by side, making sure that we work well as a team and appreciate each other's qualities because we both bring different things to the table. When we engage in God's mission, not as individuals but side by side, we bring something unique and special and different to the table. If you believe what I said earlier, that God lives in you, that is not unique. Because God lives in the person sitting right beside you right now and the people online. But what is unique is the way in which God has formed your character and your personality and your skills and your perspective, your outlook. And God loves you and works with you for it. But the complication comes when we work with someone else alongside who doesn't see things quite the same way we do or have the same outlook or perspective or skills. And there can be a little bit of tension at times working side by side. But there can also be a beautiful sense of community. And mission is done best when it's called co-mission. Together mission. It's also mission, the character of it is the response of the joyful. Mission isn't supposed to be a burden. Oh, another activity of the church, another rota to get involved in. It shouldn't be like that. Mission is about the response of the joyful. Those who desire to be a part of what God is doing in shaping and transforming the world. It's an exciting, yes, costly, sacrificial, but it could be filled potentially with joy and anticipation about what God is doing. As Jesus calls the 70 and sends them out two by two, there is expectation and anticipation. Yes, not taking a bag or not taking other things, a simplified approach to mission, but full of joy. So often mission gets caught up in the life of the church in such a way that it feels like a heavy responsibility. Actually, mission is God's responsibility and God's invitation for us to participate in a joyful adventure. It's always a choice. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Ask. Do you know what? Mission has always had a few workers. And that won't change from this sermon. Let's be honest. It will always have a few who do a lot. But it's beautiful because mission is a choice. You're not coerced into mission. You're not forced into mission. Perhaps God even won't change your mind based upon today. But perhaps you may be responding to God's choice and invitation. Because mission is always rooted in love. And love is never forced. Being involved in God's mission is to respond to the God of love. There's freedom in it. Then there's the content of mission. To be a person of peace. And I expressed that a little bit earlier with the example of Alton. Go in peace. Don't know what your devotional life looks like. Mine is very much rooted in Lectio 365 and the walking of my dog. You know that. This Thursday, there was a brilliant Lectio, 10 minutes of fantastic, deep, accessible devotion, which talked about the resting place of God's presence. God, as I said earlier, is cosmic, fulfilling all the earth and beyond. Solomon built a temple of wood where God may rest. But God is relational, and that's why God rests in each of us, for we are the living temple. God rests in you right now. Be a resting place of God's presence so that when you go in commission and meet someone else, they would somehow sense, again, mysteriously, something of God's peaceful presence through you. Be a person of relationship. I love it when Jesus says, go into the house and eat and drink and stay there. A person of relationship. Again, Zainab, this wonderful couple, their strategy to go across Canada was to talk to the locals. I think the locals are the ones who are going to have the best knowledge and know the cheapest and fastest way to get around. Speak to people around you. Don't try and figure it out on your own, and be smart and don't think you know everything. So we're going to try and speak to as many people as we can wherever we go. Zainab is a Muslim who gets Luke 10. Interacting relationally, being dependent upon others, listening, learning, asking questions, relating. Be a person who heals. I'm not going to get into a theology of healing right now. Healing has many forms, one of which is being a peaceable presence. Be a person who speaks. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom is here with you. That's all very good. The character of mission and the content of mission, that's all fine. But where does it leave you and me here at SBC? Well, if mission is from everywhere to everywhere, and I loved it when Dave emphasized the word go. Ask the Lord of the harvest. The workers are few. The harvest is plentiful. Go. It's as if Jesus is saying, you ask the Lord of the harvest, but you go. You're the answer to your own prayer. Quite like that. But here at SBC, what does it mean? I think it means four things. It means to be around the world, around the community, around the church, and around you. This is the application of the reading. Around the world, I think here at SBC, Mercy Mission, Route 61, Karen, who's in Kenya, but she'll be here next Sunday. BMS World Mission, Environmental and Creation Care, Justice Mission, Majority World and the Church, the European Baptist Federation, Albania. I've put question marks by some of those because they're potential. Around this church is a way in which we engage around the world. And there may be others you could add to this list. Around the community. Kairos, everyday mission. Girls and Boys Brigade, Monday mission English classes. Tuesday groups. Wednesday, tiddlywinks. Thursday, playtime, family support center, Crossroads, Ukraine Connection, food pantry, Yardley. We pray each week. Be an answer to our own prayer. Around the church, life groups, dwell, connect lunches, Alpha, Youth Mission Week, Sunday services, the Welcome Hub, leadership teams, service in all areas, new people from other countries and cultures, LiveWires, Fusion, Youth Club, the list goes on. What about around you? Your home life, your social life, your working life, your leisure life, sharing life, spiritual life. What does all of that mean? We can think of mission in so many different ways, in so many different forms. The activity of mission is happening all around this church in incredible ways. God is working in ways known and unknown. And in each of those places, Tuesday, let me go back, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I know my days of the week. any group that we're involved in, any way in which we're serving, are we people of relationship, keen to listen to others who we don't know? Are we people of peace, seeking to bring the balm of God into other people's lives? Are we people that bring healing in relationship where there is brokenness all around us? Are we people that express the nearness of the kingdom? When people see us, may they see something of the kingdom at work. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Ask, go. I want to finish by sharing this brief story of Etty. Comes out of a book called Tokens of Trust by a former Archbishop, Rowan Williams. It's a book that he's written as an introduction to Christianity. It's anything but. You need a PhD to read it. But there's some good stuff in it. He talks about Etty, and I just want to read her story very briefly. Etty was imprisoned in the transit camp at Westerbork before being shipped off to Auschwitz, where she was to die in the gas chambers in November 1943, at the age of 29. And she wrote this. In that horror, she wrote this. There must be someone to live through it all and bear witness to the fact that God lived, even in these times. And why wouldn't I not be that witness? In a letter to a friend from Westerbork, she described her life as having an uninterrupted dialogue with God. I wonder if people look at you or me and go, they've got an uninterrupted dialogue with God. But she wrote of her vocation in the camp as not being there simply to proclaim God to people, but being the path through which people could encounter God. Rowan Williams goes on to say, it is plain that she saw her belief as a matter of deciding to occupy a certain place in the world, a place where others could somehow encounter God through her. And this not in any self-congratulatory spirit or with any sense of being exceptionally holy or virtuous, but simply because she has agreed, and this is the phrase, to take responsibility for God's believability. And the question I have to end, to challenge, to encourage, is in those lists of things that we do, which are wonderful, the activities throughout the week, if you're a part of Tuesday group, at that time, what does it mean to take responsibility for God's believability? Monday mission, what does it mean to take responsibility for God's believability? Family support center, crossroads, what does it mean to take responsibility for God's believability? You and me, what does it mean for me to have such responsibility? Sometimes I confess I just don't know how to answer that. But praise be to God, there may be someone alongside me that encourages me to explore. That's why Jesus sent out not one by one, but two by two.